Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to a bonus show. It seems like we can't go a day without a news outlet claiming the next EV battery will have magical technology with unbelievable range and almost instant charging. I see it all the time, and it's hard to filter out the realistic innovations from all the noise. So I set out over the weekend to update myself on the current state of emerging battery technologies, and, well, it ended up as a nice little podcast script, so that can be today's bonus show for you. The global EV battery landscape this year is dominated by lithium-ion technology, which has achieved unprecedented scale, cost reductions, and manufacturing concentration that'll define the industry for the short to medium term. As the foundation for the modern EV, these batteries have reached a critical inflection point where mass market adoption accelerates and new technologies are beckoning all the time, though. A reminder, our bonus shows are exclusively for our Patreon supporters for the first 7 days. Only Patreon insiders get early access. Their name on the list of legends if you're exec producer or above, and the power to shape future shows. If being in the know and recognized as a supporter sounds like you, check out the Patreon pages. And I'm not asking you for money that you haven't got, or if you don't want to support the show, that's fine. Listen to the free feed. You got some ads in there. But after 7 days, all the shows go in there. So we don't put things behind paywalls. I hate that idea. It's just a little bit of a wait. But these shows are never the really urgent, timely breaking news ones. So hopefully that's okay too. But a nice bonus for our incredible people on Patreon that pay my wages. So where are we today? Lithium-ion batteries maintain complete dominance in the EV market, with global production capacity reaching around 3,500 gigawatt hours in 2024, but that was up from 2,000 only the year before. This rapid scaling has allowed the average battery pack costs to plummet to around $115 per kilowatt hour as of 2024 data, representing a 20% decline in a single year and marking the steepest price reduction in 7 years. Goldman Sachs Research projects costs that will fall further to $80 per kilowatt hour by 2026, approaching the critical threshold for unsubsidized cost parity, where EVs and gasoline vehicles cost exactly the same. In China, with some batteries, they talk about in terms of $50 per kilowatt hour. And so that's significantly lower than what you will notice I've just mentioned. That is the latest industry consensus, though. The Chinese will talk about their batteries in very low-cost terms, and that's probably true, but I have to go with those big research organizations that put out their annual reports. Now, they also tend to base it on the cost at pack level, not cell level, so not the cost to make an individual little itsy-bitsy cell. However, they look at the cost of the battery pack, which will include all of the ancillary and associated components, the housing, the inverters, and everything else that you might need to make a battery pack work. So that's why that low figure of $50 per kilowatt hour versus maybe what Goldman Sachs Research say, which is 80 by next year, there's probably a discrepancy there, but that can all be explained away. The current battery technology has reduced in price by 97% since 1991. And really all the big advantage, the big gains have come in the last 15 years or so. And it's one of the most remarkable industrial transformations since the Industrial Revolution, at least in modern history as well. Nothing has changed the way that we live and work than the lithium-ion battery and how it's got so cheap. This achievement stems from Wright's Law effects, where each doubling of cumulative production capacity historically reduced costs by around 19%. Today's lithium-ion batteries deliver energy densities of between 200 and 300 watt-hours per kilogram, while maintaining cycle lives up to 3,000 cycles, making them suitable for both premium performance applications and mass-market vehicles. So what are the dominant chemistries of today? Where are we in 2025? Well, two battery chemistries currently define the EV market, each serving distinct segments with complementary strengths. Nickel manganese cobalt and some variations of that, NMC, holds about 50 to 55% of the global market share, maintaining its position as the premium choice for long range and high performance. These batteries achieve energy densities of 250 to 300 watt-hours per kilogram, enabling vehicles with ranges well over 400 miles and supporting rapid charging. Lithium iron phosphate, LFP, chemistry has experienced remarkable growth, capturing 37 to 40% of the global market so far this year, up from 25% only 3 years ago. However, it's around 80% of the Chinese new car EV market in recent months. This surge reflects LFP's compelling advantages in lower cost, high safety, and durability as well. LFP systems typically cost 30% less than the NMC equivalents and deliver superior thermal stability and cycle life up to 4,000 cycles. This chemistry lowers the energy density, though, to maybe 160 to 170 watt-hours per kilogram. But a lot of work has gone in over the last few years, again, particularly in China, to lithium-ion phosphate technology, and it's improving all the time, by the way. And so, with cell-to-pack technologies, the acceptance of it in mass-market vehicles, where the lower cost of the vehicle easily outweighs a quicker 0-60 time, this technology is really catching on. Nickel-cobalt-aluminium, NCA, batteries occupy a smaller bit of the market, about 15% or so of the market, but it's very important. Mostly North America, Tesla's influence as well, with their premium applications requiring very high energy density. NCA is around 260 to 300 watt-hours per kilogram, at higher costs, though, with more complex thermal management needs. China is a huge part of the entire story today. China's control over the global battery supply chain has reached extraordinary levels, with Chinese manufacturers making 85% of lithium-ion cells and controlling over 90% of the mineral processing. The country's production capacity surged 45% in 2023 alone, and the first half of this year, output is now 300 gigawatt hours, a 47% increase on the same time over the year. China can make far more batteries at the moment than the world even needs, and that's driving down the cost again. Represents sufficient capacity to supply anything that we need. It's why new entrants can come into the EV market and, surprisingly, unlike a few years ago, find themselves with a battery supply contract. CATL and BYD form a duopoly controlling 67% of the global market. A combined 200 gigawatt hours of production exceeding the total output of all other nations. CATL leads with advanced technologies like their CTP Cell-to-Pack 3 technology, boosting energy density by 15%. If you can get rid of all of the stuff around a battery pack, make the cells sit closer together and pack them more densely, then you get more energy density out of the same space. BYD's Blade battery is quite famous, actually, because it's a good marketing term, but it features improved LFP chemistry. That's 70% of Chinese EV installations. Six Chinese companies account for, well over two-thirds of the global market share. So there's some remarkable progress happening, but there are some challenges. Cobalt in some batteries is dependent on some places where there's ethical and strategic concerns about where that comes from. And so that has accelerated the development of reduced cobalt and cobalt-free chemistries. Also, the lithium price volatility fluctuations up to, between $15,000 and $35,000 per ton throughout the last year, 18 months, complicates really difficult cost forecasting, doesn't it? And it's intensified interest in alternative chemistries like, the ones we'll get onto in a moment. I've picked my favourite five. Geopolitical tensions have prompted massive investments in supply chain diversification as well. The EU, US and Australia all investing towards domestic battery material processing and manufacturing. The current state reveals an industry that is maturing, but also pivotal. Remarkable cost reductions and remarkable improvements. The combustion engine's been around 100 plus years, and that technology gets better more slowly. You and I talk about electric vehicles every day, and the speed of being able to make that technology better is so much faster than combustion technology that all of the excitement really is around electric vehicles. So, what are the ones that are showing promise then? Number one, solid-state batteries. Solid-state batteries represent one of the most significant advances in battery technology. It replaces the liquid or gel electrolytes found in conventional lithium-ion batteries with solid electrolytes. They will typically be made of ceramics or glass or solid polymers. A fundamental change that promises to address safety, energy density, and longevity. The advantages of solid-state batteries are compelling for EV applications. They offer dramatically improved safety profiles because the solid electrolytes are non-flammable, eliminating the risk of a thermal runaway event. That's what can cause a fire in a liquid electrolyte battery. Energy density improvements are substantial. Manufacturers talk, unfortunately, in terms of range on a single charge. And you know how that frustrates me because, I could build a 700-mile EV today in my garage. Give me enough batteries and I'll make it happen. So when manufacturers like Samsung talk about 750 miles on a charge, that's kind of pointless because we need to know, but what's the size of the battery? If you're doing 750 miles on an 80 kilowatt hour pack, now you've got my interest. Charging speeds could be revolutionary, with some designs promising full charges in under 10 minutes. But again, charge times depend on battery size, and there's so many variables. But hey, you tell me the average family car, the average, what's that, 70, 80 kilowatt hours for a family car or SUV, is going to do 750 miles, going to recharge in 10 minutes. You put it in terms like that, now I'm super interested. The solid electrolyte acts as a separator between the anode and the cathode, preventing dendrite formation that causes traditional battery degradation, and that would extend battery life. These solid-state batteries, we don't know how long they'll last. Some saying over 20 years. Despite their promise, solid-state batteries face significant hurdles that explain why they're still in development. The primary challenge is complexity and cost. Solid electrolytes require specialized production processes and expensive materials, making them significantly more expensive than lithium-ion alternatives for today. Ionic connectivity at room temperature is generally lower than with liquid electrolytes. That impacts charging rates and power output. interface stability between the solid electrolyte and the electrodes is problematic, with poor contact creating high resistance and performance degradation during charge-discharge cycles. The brittleness of ceramic electrolytes could be a durability concern. Vibrations and mechanical stress could cause cracks or failure. Manufacturing scalability is a barrier, requiring defect-free, thin electrolyte layers and precise electrode contact, which means advanced facilities, dry room environments, and it's all being worked on, but it's not ready yet. But why they're promising for EVs? Solid-state batteries are highly likely to succeed in EVs because major automakers are investing heavily in the technology, and they're clearly communicating timelines. Stellantis, on their part, say they plan to debut a solid-state vehicle sometime in 2026. We think the Dodge Charger could have this early technology. It directly addresses the most critical of EV limitations as well. If you ask anybody, and we talk about these surveys semi-regularly on the main EV News Daily podcast, you ask newcomers, different age groups, people who are going for their first or EV, what holds you back? And people say range anxiety, which is not a thing, by the way. I mean, you get petrol anxiety, so I just prefer the word range. Charging time and safety concerns. Their ability to work with lithium metal anodes enables the high energy densities needed for long ranges. Safety profile is fantastic. Manufacturing challenges are significant but can be overcome. Companies like QuantumScape and Factorial Energy are doing really demonstrating progress by putting those batteries into test cars now and getting them on the road and getting some miles under their belt. Number two, silicon anode lithium-ion batteries. Well, silicon anode technology represents an evolutionary improvement in conventional lithium-ion batteries, replacing the graphite anode with silicon-based materials that can store significantly more lithium ions. This modification promises to substantially increase energy density and maintain the proven chemistry and safety profile of lithium-ion batteries. The primary advantage of silicon anodes is exceptional energy storage capacity. Silicon can theoretically store 10 times more lithium ions per unit of weight than graphite, with practical implementations up to 40% in energy density over conventional batteries. This translates directly to longer driving ranges, but with no more weight or size, or make the battery smaller and more lightweight for the same range. Silicon is abundant and inexpensive, potentially reducing battery costs. As the tech matures, some manufacturers have achieved energy densities of 350 watt-hours per kilogram using composite anodes, showing that the technology is commercially viable. Also, factories around the world have been built to make cells of one type. It's crucial that if a new technology comes along, you haven't got to build new factories or replace all the equipment inside your existing factories. So work can be done on the lines you've already built. That's really important, by the way. The fundamental challenge, though, with silicon anodes is massive volume expansion. Silicon can swell up to 300% during lithium absorption, compared to 13% for graphite. And this expansion creates a cascade of problems, including mechanical electrode fracture, particle disconnection from the current collectors, and continuous breakdown of the solid electrolyte interface, which consumes lithium and degrades capacity. The volume changes also cause particle, like pulverization, where the silicon itself breaks down into smaller pieces. And when that happens, you lose electrical contact. These issues result in shorter life cycle compared to graphite anodes, limiting the practical lifespan. Silicon anodes are highly promising, though, for EVs because of the performance improvements. Whilst building on the current lithium-ion technology, companies are incorporating a little bit of silicon into their anodes at the moment, a clear path to gradually adding a bit more. The energy density improvements address range anxiety and, while maintaining the safety and reliability characteristics that have made the current technology so widely adopted. Recent advances in composite materials with specialized binders and what they call nano-structured silicon designs are managing the expansion problems, with some manufacturers targeting commercial deployment in 2030 in their EVs. Number three. Oh, hey, let's take a break. And I'll be back in a moment and we will talk sodium ion batteries and a couple more as well. Stick around, back in a mo.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
All right, welcome back. Now, our third exciting technology on the horizon is sodium ion batteries, using sodium rather than lithium as the primary ion for energy storage, offering a potentially more sustainable and cost-effective alternative. While sodium ion chemistry has been around for decades, by the way, it's only the recent advances in cathode materials and electrolyte formulations that have brought the technology closer to being commercially viable to stick in the cars that you and I drive. The most significant advantage of sodium-ion batteries is cost-effectiveness, driven by sodium's exceptional abundance. It's the sixth most abundant element on Earth and widely available in oceans and salt deposits. This abundance could reduce battery costs by 30% compared to lithium-ion systems. Sodium-ion batteries offer improved safety, better thermal stability, no thermal runaway. They perform exceptionally well in cold temperatures, maintaining stable electrochemical performance even when lithium-ion batteries start to struggle. Very suitable for cold climates and environmental benefits, with reduced mining impacts, since sodium extraction has a smaller ecological footprint than lithium mining as well. Also, eliminating dependence on cobalt and nickel, a huge deal. The primary limitation of sodium-ion batteries is that they're not ready for prime time on energy density, typically 100 to 150 watt-hours per kilogram. This lower density means heavier, bulkier batteries for the same range, which limits the vehicle because of weight. Cycle life generally falls short of lithium-ion performance, with current sodium-ion batteries experiencing faster capacity degradation over charge-discharge cycles, and charging speeds don't currently match the best of the best out there at the moment. So, why they're good for EVs? Well, sodium-ion batteries are promising for EVs in urban utility vehicles, delivery fleets, two-wheelers, three-wheelers even, where maximum energy density is less critical than cost-effectiveness. If your primary concern is how cheap can we get this vehicle, this might be the battery for you. Big manufacturers are opening gigafactories ready for sodium-ion production by the end of this year. It's already on the road in some cases. The technology addresses critical supply chain vulnerabilities that lithium-ion systems face for the budget-conscious EV markets and fleet applications where total cost of ownership is the be-all and end-all. Well, if you're less worried about your 0 to 60 times, this could be the one for you. Number four, lithium sulfur batteries. Lithium sulfur batteries use sulfur as the cathode material rather than metal oxides found in existing batteries, offering exceptional theoretical energy density potential, abundant low-cost materials, and a big departure from traditional battery designs. Lightweight, very lightweight. Good for energy storage. Hey, good for aerospace, even. Good for long-range EVs. The most compelling advantage of lithium sulfur is its theoretical energy density. When it's not in the lab, we'll see. But in theory, not just a little bit better, but as someone is fond of saying, orders of magnitude better. Lithium sulfur, in theory, would deliver 2,500 watt hours per kilogram. That would be bad, isn't it? 2.5 kilowatt hours in something that you can just pick up with a couple of fingers. Roughly 10 times higher than what's out there at the moment. Practical implementations are achieving up to 500 watt hours per kilogram at the moment. Well, look, that's still double some of the good chemistries out there. The high energy density makes them really attractive for weight-critical applications. Now, electric aircraft are in the skies right now, using the technology that's out there right now. But if there was a technology that was 10 times better, those kind of applications where a premium price can be paid, aviation, even drones, you know, people will pay a lot of money for getting more flight time, then, oh, and obviously long-range EVs, the cost advantages are significant because, well, sulfur is abundant and inexpensive, available as an industrial byproduct of oil and gas refining, and that's not going anywhere anytime soon. It ends dependence on expensive metals like cobalt and nickel. Safety improvements include reduced fire risk, and it's less prone to thermal runaway as well. But why aren't we there yet with it? Well, despite the theoretical advantages, lithium sulfur batteries face significant technical challenges. The primary issue is an extremely short cycle life. At the moment, 500 to 1,000 cycles. So that might not be great in a few years' time when your EV battery needs replacing. But what if you were NIO or any of the companies that do battery swapping? What if the battery in your EV is not your battery, but the companies can keep an eye on degradation, and at some point when the batteries are no longer good enough to go in an EV, they enter their second and third lives. This degradation at the moment results from multiple factors. The sulfur compounds are dissolving into the electrolyte and migrating between the electrodes. It causes capacity loss and anode corrosion. Dendrite formation on the lithium metal anodes is also a problem, leading to short circuits. That's a safety concern too. Cathode swelling can be 80% during operation. There's mechanical stress there as well. So lots of work to do. But lithium sulfur batteries are considered really promising for EVs because they address the weight penalty that limits EV range and performance. Why are there no two-seat sports cars weighing the same as you'd get with a little Ford EcoBoost engine or something in a little two-seater, I don't know, kind of custom-made tube frame sports car? You know, you can think of the likes of your Ariel Atoms. Why aren't they battery-powered? Well, with lithium sulfur, well, they would be. They have exceptional gravimetric energy density and would enable not only that, lightweight sports cars, maybe motorsport, electric aircraft, and things like that. Recent advances include nanostructured cathodes, polysulfide immobilization techniques, and solid-state electrodes, showing promise in lab settings. There are companies out there like Solidion Technology. They're demonstrating it on the road right now. Well suited, where cycle life requirements are less stringent than performance demands. Like I say, motorsport is one of those that pushes the boundaries of technology, and you probably wouldn't want the battery to be lasting forever anyway, but you would want that big performance, that big weight advantage of the lower weight. And finally, lithium air batteries. That is the ultimate theoretical advancement in battery technology. That uses oxygen from the ambient air as the cathode material in combination with a lithium metal anode. This design promises energy densities approaching that of combustion fuel. gasoline that has huge amounts of stored potential energy inside it. That would revolutionise EV range. It would enable new applications that are currently impossible with any battery technology. The theoretical energy density of a lithium air battery is extraordinary. Research at the minute says up to 1,300 watt-hours per kilogram, 10 times that of some of the lower end right now. Recent breakthroughs have demonstrated the system's working, achieving 4-electron reactions that significantly enhance energy capacity while maintaining rechargeability. Unlike the other battery technologies, lithium air systems can operate using oxygen from the environment. That eliminates the need for stored cathode materials, dramatically reducing battery weight. This could enable EVs with ranges, well over 1,000 miles, on a very small battery, on a single charge. It makes electric aviation entirely viable. Safety improvements include the use of solid electrolytes in newer designs. There's no fire risk because there's no liquid electrolytes in the entire battery. And the tech has demonstrated remarkable stability with test cells operating for 1,000 charge and discharge cycles so far. So why are we not further ahead? Well, lithium air batteries probably face the most formidable technical challenges that explain why they remain primarily in the lab. Air quality presents a major complication. There is moisture. There is carbon dioxide in the air. And that reacts strongly with lithium metal, reducing cell performance and requiring air purification systems. Those in themselves would add weight and complexity. The electrochemical reactions produce solid lithium peroxide. Yeah, that's precipitates on the cathode in large quantities, which can cause sudden cell death. That doesn't sound good when you're mid-flight. Lithium metal anodes are prone to dendrite formation that can create a short circuit. Again, I'm not liking this so far. Manufacturing complexity is extreme, requiring specialized materials, air filtration systems, and precise environmental controls that make scaling, at least in personal vehicles, quite challenging. More significantly, practical energy density remains far below theoretical limits due to the weight of supporting systems, air purification, and the protective components needed. But it's worth looking at. Lithium air batteries are considered the ultimate long-term solution for mobility. They theoretically eliminate so much of the range concerns because they enable new vehicle categories. Major research institutions like the US Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory are one of the big investors, indicating potential. Breakthroughs recently in solid electrolyte design and 4-electron chemistries have overcome fundamental barriers, demonstrating that the tech is theoretically viable. Well, that's our little look at what's the real deal and what's not. What can we believe when we read about the next great battery technology? Well, the fast pace of emerging battery technologies is going to bring huge improvements to EVs in the next decade, addressing every major barrier that currently limits mass adoption. By 2030, the pathway forward will reveal a transformed landscape where longer ranges, lower costs, better safety, and ultra-fast charging become the norm. Solid-state and lithium-sulfur batteries will extend the range, eliminating the concerns over the charging network because you can, take your energy with you, as it were. Silicon anodes alone will boost the current lithium-ion ranges by up to 40%, and that's the current technology. I mean, a lot of this is on the road already, either in test vehicles or in small amounts. Battery prices will plummet, and we see that even with current technology, that's going to increase the competitiveness of EVs. And then things like sodium-ion technology reducing battery costs by another 30%, so it just becomes the no-brainer. EVs are better in every way and will be significantly cheaper than the combustion car. At that point, you've just really, really got to love your diesel. Solid-state chemistries are probably the one that's talked about the most. There's no fire risk. It's the one that's closest to commercialization for some people, some car companies getting really close to it. There's semi-solid-state on the road right now. Proper solid-state with its 10-minute charging, with its huge range, lightweight batteries, very safe, is probably the one where we're going to see a lot of action in the next couple of years. especially when there's commercial trucking and commercial vehicles out there, you know, they're going to have 1, 2, 3 megawatt charging. If you look at the MCS standard, what's that, 3.75 megawatts? I'll check my notes one day. That's got a theoretical huge amount of power delivery. And solid-state batteries would be able to cope with that. And if at the end of the day it's a working vehicle and you can justify the cost, that's often where the technology will start and trickle down to the rest of us. Industry projections indicate EVs will be 30% of global new car sales very quickly, 90% by 2035, and that transformation represents more than just an incremental improvement. The way that we move around the planet will be done with batteries. The way we're doing it right now, with incredible EVs, using current technology, is deeply impressive. But what's around the corner is going to change everything. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll catch you on the next one.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio. Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.